I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
Alrighty, alrighty. Welcome back to the Smokescreen Podcast. I'm your host. I was going to go with something different again, but I forgot. Snoopy.
Woodstock.
No, welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 16, I think, and we got a doozy today.
Yes,
we got
a doozy.
We got something we talked about doing for a few weeks now. But really quick, first, let me thank our Patreons. I have opened up, as I mentioned last podcast, a Patreon account, a separate one for this podcast, to get it all separated from the main channel and fair for James and all that. So I want to quickly thank Bill. Thank you to Ewan of Rohan. Thank you to Lydia Quinn. Thank you to Slope. Thank you to Sneaky McCheese. I love the name Sneaky McCheese. And Tanya Gradeless, as well as our two executive producers, Doc Holliday and Lauren Wagstaff. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate the support. We are now over the little threshold to actually pay for the podcast. So anything from this here on out will just help us out. And we thank you guys so much for that. Really appreciate it. But yeah, so today we talked about this, I think, a couple months ago, but never got around to it. We're going to give some advice, like for real.
Yeah.
We're going to have fun with it, but we're going to give advice. And since we didn't have like questions ready for, you know, we didn't announce it in some previous podcast, we found a website here, and I believe it is Dear Hoopers. So it's dearhoopers.com, where it's basically an advice column.
Yes.
Like you'd see, you know, Dear Abby or whatever in the old days, I guess. Is Dear Abby still around? I don't even know. Is that still a thing?
I wonder myself.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the most famous, I think, that people are probably aware of, Dear Abby columns or whatever. It was in every newspaper in the country, probably. And now there's probably an online version, I'd imagine.
And I think we've lived long enough to give some advice.
I think so. We have to say, you know, these are all kinds of questions revolving around relationships and money and all that kind of stuff. We're not professionals. We're just
not at all.
We're just a couple older dudes. We're two rednecks with a microphone and a little bit of experience.
That's exactly what we are.
Two rednecks and a microphone.
So
this is not professional advice. We have to say this, apparently, I guess.
Yeah, I think we should say that. Yeah,
I mean, you know, we're going to have fun with it, but give serious answers. So we found this website and went through and looked at a lot of the questions, and this should cover the gambit, I think, a lot of stuff. And I think we didn't read the answers.
I was getting ready to say that. Yeah, we intentionally did not want to read their answers to these people, so we wouldn't be influenced. So what you're getting from us is raw, unfiltered,
exactly,
our own genuine, sincere advice.
Which fits the theme of this podcast. This is raw. This is unedited. We don't edit anything. We just put in the intro, and it's out. That's it. So anyway, we think this will be fun, and if you enjoy this, for damn sure, in the YouTube comments, leave us questions.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'm not saying, you know, this could go for younger folks out there. This can go for people our age with a different experience. You know, I think it'd be fun. I think collectively we have 80-something years here of experience.
Yes, we do.
And both with relationships, marriage, and kids, and all this good stuff. Anyway, it'll be fun regardless. So, feel free to do that. And quickly, a reminder, I mention YouTube all the time. That's where you can read all the comments. So please go subscribe to the YouTube channel. The link's in the description of everywhere that you may listen to this on, whether it's SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, or Podbean. You can go to the YouTube channel from there, and we read the comments. So, we'll do more of these if we get some questions. Seriously.
Right.
Like,
and is there a way that could they possibly email us?
Questions
that way, you know, other people aren't answering their question on the comments.
Yeah,
section.
If that's because certainly some of these may want to be anonymous.
Yep.
But there is in the description of YouTube, there is an email address there, smokescreen@lockmoreproductions.com. You can always email with that as well, and just, you know, put the subject, you know, podcast advice or something.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
And I'll see that. So, yeah, you can certainly feel free to do that if you want to. That'll be fine, too. But if it's more of a general question, you can leave it there, whatever you want to do. And be sure to let us know if you want to, you know, have your name involved or not.
Definitely.
Or just, you know, just it could be just a first name. That's whatever, you know, just to maintain your privacy if you actually have a legit question.
Right.
Again, assuming this goes well, we'll see.
That's what I'm wondering, too.
So we had this website here. We pulled these questions from, right, and it kept refreshing. So we have a lot of screenshots. We had to read them.
Yeah, so bear with us.
You have to bear with us. And some of them are not written that well. I think they really just copy and paste an email. And so some of them are not worded that great. But anyway, I don't know. You want to go first? Read the first one.
You ready?
Let's go. Let's jump in.
Let's
give
glasses on.
Chris and James therapy and advice sessions. I'm not sure what we're calling this yet, but this is a new segment we're going to try out here and see what we have. Real advice.
Ear to ear. I'm so excited about this.
Yes. Let's see what we have first. We have probably eight or ten good ones that carry the gambit.
All right. So here we go. Get ready. It says, I've been in a relationship with this guy for over 4 years now, and I know communication is the ultimate key to a healthy and strong bond.
Good start.
There are certain topics that I'm not comfortable with, and my boyfriend likes to bring up to our conversations mildly often. His ex-girlfriends mostly, as well as this other girl that got me into nearly ending our relationship. I've talked to him about it, and he says that he doesn't understand why I get so mad whenever he brings any of these topics to the table. We once had this huge, horrible fight that ended up in him saying how frustrating it was to be constantly having to take great care into every word he speaks, or else I will get insanely mad. He said it was really mentally exhausting and that I should act a little more mature than to start a fight over little things. Sometimes I feel like I am overreacting, but some others I repeat to myself that if it bothers me, it is worth speaking up. He also shields himself up, saying that he has explained to me a billion times that he is done with all of those girls and that I should really cut the crap on those topics. I fear that this is kind of a big deal. I love him so much, but I can't stand him constantly bringing these girls up into our conversations and having to suck it up and act like I don't care, because I really do. Your words will be truly appreciated. Thanks, XO.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's interesting because I can see both sides of some of them. And by the way, these are some of the longer questions. Some are not that long, but yes, I mean, these are in depth, obviously detailed questions from specific people to this this website, which is probably ran by professionals. But I will start with that one to say,
I'll just agree with you first off that as soon as I read it, I thought the first thing you said is that I can see both sides of this.
Yes, absolutely. Her feelings are absolutely valid.
Yeah,
They're valid because you're hearing about exes.
Yeah, that's tough,
and that's a tough spot to be in. And kind of just to cover those two points, just to, before we get into it deep, is at the same time she's got to be less sensitive to where if he's saying he feels like he has to start dancing around things or you know tiptoeing on the proverbial eggshells. Then there is an issue there too, is what I'm saying. But he needs to be, first off, more sensitive to the fact that he's talking to his girlfriend. Was it a girlfriend or wife? I don't remember if you said wife or girlfriend.
I think it's a girlfriend.
Yeah, but throwing, even if it's an innocent, you know, hey, me and, Susan or whatever name he's throwing out there used to do this, this, and this. When you may be thinking you're telling just an innocent story or whatever, this it has something to do with what you're the conversation you're having.
Right.
You're still bringing up an ex, and that's a sensitive topic for people, understandably.
Yeah, it is.
So he has to be more conscious of what the hell he's saying.
Yes.
And I don't know if she's. I guess she's already getting mad. They're having conversations about it. So that's the first step. Like she mentioned, communication. She's letting him know this is not comfortable for me all the time, but it. Is he doing it that much? Is it, because that's odd.
Yeah.
That's a little odd to me, too. Is
the,
he
the
is
way
he,
it's written, he's the way doing it's written. It often. Yeah, she
right.
said mildly often. How does that mean?
Exactly. What is mildly often?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, she can't say anything if she's asking a question about a specific person or an event.
An event, yeah.
And he says that name, but right. if he's just randomly bringing up old girlfriends, that's odd, too.
Agreed.
And I don't, again, mildly often. I mean, is it often or is it not?
Yeah, I know.
what is mildly often? So.
I agree. I feel like you said, her feelings are definitely valid. So, like she said, if it is a big deal to me, then I feel like I need to bring it to the table. Because everybody has their own little little things that bother them.
Absolutely.
So if we can't erase our past, right? So you can't that Jim Carrey movie, what is that? The Spotless Mind, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, right.
Where you go get this girlfriend erased out of your mind.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
Yeah, that's just science fiction.
Like you said, if there's an event, something that you did. Have you ever gone bungee jumping? And he blurts out, "Yeah, me and Susan went bungee." That I could see that happening.
Right, right.
But it depends on how he's bringing it to the table, and then honestly, the way I feel, if I were him, and the person I cared about came to me and said, "Look, you bringing up these other girls bothers me. I would really try not to bring them up. And if I did, I would say, I might preface it by saying, look, I know that this bothers you, but I can't leave the name out of this conversation. When I tell you what I'm about to tell you, I can't not say their name. Because some stories, you have to include.
Yeah. And I will say too, and for anybody younger listening to this type of thing that's had some issue like this, this actually becomes more prevalent when you're older and have kids. And let's say you've had a marriage and you have kids.
Amen.
And you have a new relationship. You will talk about your ex. You have to. Yeah. You're still a parent.
Yeah.
Now, that's completely normal for the most part. But if this sounds a little bit like it's, according to her, it's overboard with these other girls.
Yeah, you brought up a really good point there. When you do have kids, children, you have the person you made those kids with, and you have these experiences with them, still have to sometimes interact with them or something.
And that's just a normal
trying to be honest
adult. Yeah.
You're going to say, hey, I talked to so-and-so the other day about how one of my kids are doing in school. I could see that bothering the person, but at least you're being upfront and honest.
Right. And they have to understand that is your number one job if you still have younger kids.
Right.
And you will, matter of fact, the other person should have some kind of relationship with the.
Yeah. Yeah.
At some point.
Yep.
Because, look, I got to meet my baby's mama.
Yeah.
Over here for this school thing going on. So that's normal there, I guess. But so that's a little bit off topic. But I'm just saying, as far as the bringing up exes thing.
And you could also make it almost a joke out of it.
Yes.
You could go, me and she who shall not be named.
Yes, absolutely.
And do it that way. So at least you're saying, look, I don't care about this person anymore.
Because
I won't even say their fucking name. I'm just going to say they were there.
Right. You know? But I guess what I was going to get to was, it sounds like he's bringing up more than one name, so it's not like he's still infatuated with one.
Well, a good point.
Because if it was just like he kept bringing up one particular ex, you would want to go dive deeper and say, does he still have a thing going on there? In his head, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, mentally.
What I would worry, with the point you're making, you're right, he's not focusing on one. I would worry that he's bringing up multiple ones. I don't know. Maybe there's not a lot context here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this would be something you need to ask more questions back, but I think she feels like she's being compared.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe he's saying these things to kind of jab at her a little bit, be honest with you about they were so much more fun. We did this and this, and he's not coming out and saying they were more fun, but he's trying to paint this picture to maybe make this person be more spontaneous or
right. It
like
sounds
that.
Like to me that it may be some kind of attempt. I mean, again, we need context, but
we do.
It could be an attempt to say, to like you said, almost take a jab to make her start thinking that, because there's something that he doesn't like about her.
Right.
And he's just afraid to come out and say it, which is the wrong approach.
It is.
It's absolutely the wrong approach, but I think that may be what's going on. Just the way it's described.
Everybody makes missteps too.
Yes.
Everybody screws up. Something bothers your partner, and sometimes you screw up and say it anyway,
yes.
And you feel like shit. That's when you just have good communication and say, hey man, I'm sorry I brought that up. I'm sorry I said that. I know we've talked about it in the past. Sorry about that. Communication is key, man. It really is key.
Right.
As long as you validate each other's feelings.
That's right.
Pretty much nothing's off the table.
That's right. Exactly. That's the first step to everything. It's not that has invalid feelings and she's just worrying about it.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing, and then that's it. I mean, You have to have an actual conversation, but not yelling. You have to, the Amen. First step to a conversation is listening
yes.
to the other person. Don't talk at them, talk to them and listen, number one. And then, you know, maybe you'll find out what's really going on there, if there's more to it. Because it could be maybe it's just, you know, an honest mistake or whatever you want to call it, as far as him just bringing up things in the past. But it does sound like a little bit, again, we're going off just kind of guesses here. We can't ask questions back.
Right.
But it sounds like he's like, maybe she's not as spontaneous like you mentioned. There's something. Yeah. There's something that he feels is lacking in her that he's afraid to come out and say.
Yeah.
And so that's on him and her, and maybe she needs to actually, they both need to dig into that by communicating.
I know we got other ones to get to, but I'll just say this. There are no-nos.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, as a guy, you don't want to hear how good an ex was at doing anything.
No.
Saying it has, I'm not saying sexual. I'm saying you don't want to hear he was a good painter. He was a good, you know, good carpenter. Right. I don't want to hear he's a good brick mason. I don't really care. No bragging.
No,
you know,
yeah.
You don't do that.
Yeah,
even if you feel it and you know it and it's true, even if the whole community knows because he's a well-known carpenter or something like that.
Right.
It's just not something that you need to brag on.
Yeah, and there's that old cliche, well, you know, Bobby was a good handyman.
Yeah.
And you know, Frank over here can't fix a fucking,
yeah,
you know.
But Frank's good in other things, but,
right?
You know?
So you can't, don't ever bring up that kind of shit. Right. That's just a stab in the heart for anybody. So that's absolutely, oh, yeah, absolutely correct.
Yeah, or, you know, had nice hair. You
know, okay,
your hair follically challenged like myself. You don't want to hear about this flowing, beautiful mane,
right,
you know, that your ex had.
Yeah, this thick, or have these hair reveals at 100,000 subscribers, and the other one can't do it.
All right.
Okay, we're getting into our own.
I could do it. I don't mind.
No, I'm
but
just
yeah.
I'm sorry.
You can't call it a hair reveal.
That's right.
You just can't.
That's right.
Just take off your hat, Tom.
That's right. Okay. I told you we're going to have fun with these, too.
Yeah,
anyway.
Love this. All right, hit us with
them. Okay, so I got one here, and this one is called, there's little titles to these, by the way, so if I have the screenshots here, I'll read the title. All right, so I have one here called Discarded Girlfriend. Here we go. My boyfriend and I have been dating for 5 months, and I absolutely love his personality. I'm having more fun than I've had in a relationship. He's outgoing, adventurous, and loves to socialize. The only problem is when we're out. I'm having a hard time with some of the behaviors my boyfriend is displaying. He's cool at home, but when we go out, the dynamic changes. I'm more of a homebody, but I understand he likes to get out, and I like to get out too, but when we are out of the house, he is a different person. Instead of fawning over me like he usually does, he pays all of his attention to other people, and women in particular. He touches the small of their backs when he talks to them and compliments them on their looks. I really like him and want to stay with him, but I don't want to be discarded every time we go out either. When we're alone, he's all compliments, so I'm not sure why he behaves like this. Should I be concerned? Interesting.
I kind of don't like this guy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it sounds like a douche move, but this is very early. I will say it's very early on.
Yeah.
5 months is very, very new.
It is.
So, you know, I don't know. She may become more of a public thing as they get more comfortable and serious, if they are still dating.
True. First off, I don't like him touching the other girls, small of their back.
No. Yeah, that's a
fawning over certain things about them or whatever. I don't like treating somebody one way in private,
behind closed doors, right,
and then differently in public. There are certain times when your own insecurity will make a mountain out of a molehill.
Absolutely.
You feel like he's being more complimentary to these other people, and he's just being himself, you know, just like he is to you behind closed doors.
Right.
But when you see it from a third party perspective,
it feels
different.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So maybe that's it. Like you said, as they get to know each other more and they're out in these kind of situations more, then she'll be like, oh, that's just him.
Right. And what I was going to say is, first off, again, we don't have context. What kind of social events are these where there's just a bunch of other women around?
True.
Is it a work-related thing? You know, is it just partying? Is it a club? But we don't really have the context. The other thing is she said right there in the thing, I'm a homebody, but I understand he likes to go out. If you step up and you put yourself right there, then he'll start seeing that you are outgoing a little bit more, and you will be, you'll be on that level with these other people he's, you know, sitting there partying with or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you interject yourself into that, and then he sees you as the same way, and then you'll be the one standing there beside him, and his arm will be around you while he's talking to these other people. The reason I was asking about the context is because if it's like a work thing, let's say it's a work party or something, it may be networking, and that's just his player way of doing it. I don't know. I'm not trying to justify it because I don't like you said.
Yeah.
The touching thing is a whole different level of – that sounds like an old Playboy to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Instead of just like, hey, how are you doing? You know, it's the touching and then the complimenting. It's almost like he's trying to pick up the girl with his girlfriend standing behind him.
Yes.
But it sounds like she's off in a corner somewhere is what I'm saying.
You know
– like you said, watching from a third-party point of view.
And she's – honestly, it could be tough to have a relationship between a homebody and somebody who is super outgoing.
Yeah.
That could, you know, 5 months might be the expiration date on something like that. Who knows?
It could be. I mean, I don't – like, there's – again, there's no other context in these questions about the rest of their lives and how – but he's – she's saying everything's great at home, and he's complimenting. But here's the thing, too. If he is complimenting to her and lovey-dovey at home, okay, first of all, appreciate that.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely appreciate that. I mean, if it's legitimate, I mean, if it's coming across as sincere and all that, then I don't think it's a lie.
Well,
the way she's writing it, because she says she really digs him, and he has all these great things to say about her there.
Well, here's my thing, too. If, like, say it is a work type thing, like you were saying, a work party, I think he should have her on his arm.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
He's walking around, and he might see a woman who, when he wasn't with his woman, he would feel like he would be more touchy normally, just his personality, kind of a Joe Biden type.
Oh, God, yes.
I don't know.
No, there is, that is true, that there are very touchy-feely people in general, dudes and girls, and I've experienced both in my life where it's, you know, you ain't seen him, you don't even speak to him but once every couple months or a year, and it's all hugs and, you know, this and that when you meet. It's like, and some people are just not like that. He may be like that. Again, we don't have a lot of details.
Right. But all I say is, if you make her feel special behind closed doors, make her feel special in public, introduce her to all these people you're talking to, even if you know she's shy normally.
Right.
Say, hey, have you met so-and-so?
Because that may be a component of it. It's still very, very new, and he knows she's shy from them getting to know each other for 5 months, and he's not trying to, like, thrust her out there in the limelight. So it may be actually a protection thing, right, in a way, but it comes off the wrong way. The question is, now she said in particular women, but she did mention that he's outgoing with everybody. Now the question is, when he goes up to Bob,
right,
does he tap Bob on the shoulder too?
Yes, she should be picking up on that.
Yes,
and,
so
and watching for that.
That needs to be noticed too. So is she focusing in on the women as much as everybody, or like you said, she's seeing it from a different perspective and starting to add to it?
Yep.
And, you know,
and honestly, I think this will be a recurring theme. Communication is key.
Yep.
Say, hey, you know, this kind of makes me feel uncomfortable. Like, you give him a chance to correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, give him a chance
don't
to say,
just assume
oh,
everything's
you're right.
horrible.
I could see how you would see it that way. I mean nothing by it. You'll see. You'll see. Next time we go out, you'll see. And give him a chance.
Exactly. And again, we don't have the actual answer to these, how old these are, or anything.
Right.
This could have been resolved. Maybe they broke up. Who knows? But yeah, that's the first step, is you got to say, hey, look, I mean, I feel kind of uncomfortable. I'm kind of like over here on the wall. I'm a wallflower.
Yeah.
You're out there, you know, all in, you know, comfortable.
Right.
And I see you doing this. I mean, what's going on? I'd like to be included or not.
Or not.
Whichever it is. But you can't do both.
Don't forget me.
If
I'm comfortable being a wallflower and you're comfortable being a butterfly, at least come back to me.
Yeah, right.
Every now and
which
then.
It sounds like he was, or so, you know, or is. I'm not sure which it is, what tense we're talking in here.
Everybody has boundaries.
Yes.
You know, if you state them up front, then nobody's getting sucker punched later and feeling like, well, you let me do it for months before you said anything.
Right.
This could have been
right.
resolved way early.
Exactly.
You know?
So, yeah, first step, talk to him about it. Don't write Dear Abby.
I was thinking that earlier.
You know, yep. I mean, seriously.
Yep.
Some of these, I mean, I understand some of these, they clearly have already tried to communicate, but some have not.
I know.
And yeah. So, you know, you just got
to like
say.
They're scared to talk to your partner.
They're scared to talk to the partner, but they'll write a stranger in a newspaper or online article, whatever it is.
I'll say nothing feels better than having an open line of communication
yep.
with your partner.
But at the same time, these type of things are great because you're getting a third-party moderator who has nothing vested
nothing
in each person.
That's right.
There's no, yeah. So.
All right.
I think you're up next, man.
All right.
How are we doing so far? I don't know. Is this going good or not?
I'm having a blast.
I think they're fun, too.
I'm really loving it. Okay. I have a coworker. Let's call her Margaret. Margaret and I work alongside each other all day. For the most part, we work well together and there's a good vibe between the two of us. However, recently, I've really enjoyed her presence. I kind of look forward to seeing her and spending time with her. I probably should have mentioned that she is very married.
Uh-oh.
That's not a problem because it was never meant to be anything more than a tiny crush. Recently, though, another coworker, let's call him James.
James. Just so happens to be.
Has been spending a ton of time with her. At first, they would include me for lunch and other outings, but recently have excluded me and gone off on their own, which isn't that big of a deal except for one night. One night, I get a handful of phone calls from a number I don't recognize. I finally answer, and it was Margaret's husband. He was worried because it was after 9 p.m. and she wasn't home yet. He wondered if I had any idea where she might be. It wasn't until that moment that I realized that Margaret and James were together doing God knows what.
Uh-oh, Margaret. Bad Margaret.
Although I can't assume what it was. And I know it's not my place because it's definitely not my business, but I can't stop thinking about it. This is the stupid and idiotic part of my logic, but I'm jealous of James. I wish I was in his place. I wish that we were me instead of him. I can't help it, especially since her husband is the one who should be the jealous one, not me.
Right.
I'm sure he doesn't even know. Anyway, it's embarrassing for me to admit the way I feel, but I need some advice. Because the thought of being at work with all this going on is driving me crazy. I can't let it go and would rather not work there anymore than to be around it. Separation might be my only solution.
Yeah, man, that's interesting. Let me just say this. Did he say his name?
No.
He didn't say
his
name.
Sign off, no.
Let's say Johnny. Johnny, you dodged a landmine, I'm just telling you. you don't want to get tangled up in the married thing. Don't do it. So I understand the fantasy of wanting to be in James and his shoes.
Right.
The guy who she did hook up with, apparently. You are assuming that because he said he couldn't assume, but he is.
Yeah, yep.
I get that. I think everybody totally gets that. Everybody's seen an attractive person at work or whatever it is.
Somebody you get along with really good.
Yep. And your feelings or thoughts go there, but they're married or you're maybe married or whatever. Yeah, just stay away from it. Just don't blow, you know, because that's going to blow up anyway, is what I'm saying. And you don't want to be there in James' shoes when that happens.
No, when he comes barging in your workplace.
That's right.
It almost sounds like a little bit of envy. Like he's thinking, I should have made a move.
Yeah, I should have made a move.
I was trying to be too cool. I knew she was married.
So I was just going to let it be a crush.
Yeah.
I should have made a move, and that could have been me instead of James.
Yeah. I really feel like that's the place they're coming from, and I think that's wrong.
Yes.
The wrong place. I think this person's smart enough to know that. I think they just wanted to get that off their chest when they wrote in to this place. I really believe they know that, okay, James and Margaret are doing wrong. I am the lucky one here. I'm glad I didn't get tied up in that.
Right.
I really feel like they feel. I
don't, yeah.
And now, with his fantasy like you're talking about, his mind went there, but he didn't do anything about it. He
didn't
physically do anything. He's glad about that, but he is jealous of James at work, and it's affecting his work. That I think that's the bigger thing he needs to worry about is how it's affecting him at work.
Exactly, because he said at the end, I'd rather leave than stay there at work.
Yeah, that's odd.
So if you're if you would rather leave your job, which again, I don't know how great a job this is, or if you love it or whatever, you seem to. If you're having to leave work instead of seeing her, essentially, you got deeper feelings than just a small crush.
Amen.
Number one.
Yep.
He's lucky here, and I think he said at the end, it's none of his business, but he did assume. He did assume. So we don't even know that James and homegirl was hooking up. I mean, it could have been something legitimate. I doubt it, but, I mean, it could have been. So
it literally could have been anything. They could have been out at a bar talking about her feelings for this dude.
Right.
She could have been asking James for advice.
Very well could have.
But my thing is this, man. He didn't have a problem with her being married. He wasn't jealous of her husband.
No.
But now there's this James guy that he knows from work.
Right, another employee walks
That's
in.
That's why people cheat. Because out of sight, out of mind, if they don't know the spouse, if they don't see the spouse.
That's right.
They basically don't exist in their world, and the woman or man
so there's
is
no,
fair game
There's
almost.
No empathy there for the other spouse.
Right. But now that he knows James is the one, it's like he's jealous. He probably looks at her differently. You know what I mean?
Oh, no doubt. And no doubt. So but he's trying to look at her. He's looking at her differently at the same time, wishing it was him, you know,
definitely.
To be a part of being the home wrecker. Look, this
Ooh,
dude.
Wait a minute. I said something wrong.
Uh-oh.
I said he didn't know. I basically implied he didn't know the guy. But the guy had his phone number.
Right, yeah. I was going to say that, too. Yeah.
So he's kind of a dog.
Yeah, he's...
If that guy had his number and called him, hey, do you know where so-and-so's at? Margaret's at? Oh, I haven't seen him.
Yeah, why would the husband have the phone number if he didn't already know the husband?
Yes, he's kind of a dog, dude.
So, did the wife... Are they that kind of relationship or working relationship where the wife gave, hey, let me give you Johnny's phone number at work just in case.
Yeah,
that don't
makes
make
you
much
wonder.
Sense.
That doesn't. No.
So I don't think we're getting the complete story there.
I don't either.
Because I was going to mention the phone number too. Like, how the hell did he get your number, dude?
Yeah, that's kind of odd. So my advice, if I was giving this guy honest advice, I would say, be glad you didn't make a move. You would have been making the wrong move.
Yep.
Leave the married woman alone. You might could express your feelings verbally if she ever let you know that there was any cracks or anything there, or that she liked you. Express your feelings. Say, hey, I dig you too, Margaret, but you need to cut ties.
Yes.
You know, move out. Then we can go. Then we can pursue something.
Everybody wants to take the easy way out and skip the whole divorce thing or whatever it is, or breaking up with the other person.
Yes.
That's what I've never understood about people.
Right.
You know, I don't get that personally. I know a lot of people out there don't care, but that's the key. If you do get to the point where you express that and they reciprocate in some way, and there you see something going forward, you have to get the other person out of the picture.
You have to.
You
can't let them say, well, there's so much to divide. It's going to be complicated.
Yes.
There's kids involved. Well, there's more red flags.
Exactly.
You know?
So just enjoy that you didn't step on the landmine.
Amen.
Bottom line.
Agreed.
All right. Let's see what we got next here. I think this is an interesting one. I grabbed this one to be, because a lot of them are sitting around relationships, and this is kind of a weird one. This one's called 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Ooh.
Let's see. Do you know how many times... I'm sorry. Let me start that over. Do you know how many lines I have in my ceiling? 25. Curious on how many books I have on my bookshelf? 110. I could go on, but I'm sure you don't really care. I never did before either, but I can't help it. Or better yet, I feel like I shouldn't help it. I've always been obsessed with numbers. As a kid, I would see numbers everywhere. The number of desks in my classroom, the number of white cars we would pass as my parents drove me to school. But I could also let it go. I could go weeks and even months without really counting anything. But lately, it's been really getting out of control. I can't enter a room unless I enter on the multiple of 10. I can't enter... I'm sorry, some of these are not written well. I make sure I lay down to sleep on an even number on the clock in order to get the best sleep. I could go on, but I won't bore you with the madness. I need help. Can I ever stop this crazy counting? So this is an OCD.
Yes.
Compulsive, whatever, obsessive compulsive disorder of counting things.
Yes.
When you're getting to the point of going to sleep on an even number, you know in your head that don't make no sense.
I know.
You're not asleep by the time it flips to an odd number.
That is so... You know. But I have these weird things, you know, like that too. I've always, my whole life, so I can relate. I used to count the squares in my ceiling.
Yeah, I picked this earlier. Remember if I said, because I said it reminds me of you and your stats and your thing with numbers. You have a thing. That's why I grabbed this out of curiosity where we went with it.
I for years, as a child, teenager, whatever, if I was in the passenger seat of a car, I would, we could be talking, we could be dead in conversation, and I would be right there with you. But what you didn't know I was doing at the same time was, as we were going down the road, every driveway to my right that was coming, you know, it was on my side, every driveway or road that would, you know, intersect on my side, I'm clenching my right jaw, my teeth together.
Like counting with your jaw.
Counting and doing that. And like, it was like an internal counter.
Right. And I got you. The tick.
It's weird. And I only confessed that to a few people in my life, but that was a weird thing I did. And another weird thing is, like, if, say, there's a spot on a windshield.
Right.
All right. I would close one eye, take that spot, that speck on the windshield, and trace around, like, traffic lights. I would trace around clouds with it. And it's like, so, you know, some people would notice me, like, moving my head around and go, "What are you doing?" And I would be embarrassed. Like, I don't know. So
I'm drunk.
I have weird things like that, too. I never understood why, but I get it. I do.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really. I think we've all done as kids a little bit of the counting thing. So I get that, you know, because we've all counted, you know, sidewalks, lines,
yes,
or, you know, all that kind of stuff.
That's a good
and
one.
Counting things going down the road, or you're sitting there bored in your room and you're counting ceiling tiles or whatever it is. I think we've all done a few things like that. I think this is getting a little extreme the way it describes it, but he also recognizes it.
Yeah, that's...
So if you can recognize it and you know you have some issue, like if you're getting on an elevator, I don't know, he's walking to an even floor is what he's saying? I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know that that's just silly. You have to...
Right.
To stop all this obsessing with this particular thing, in my opinion, and again, I'm no doctor, but don't go get on drugs...
Right.
Don't go you're going to have to fight through it is what you're going to have to do.
That's right.
You're going to have to lay down at 827.
Yep. You're going to have to get a handful of books, stick them on your bookshelf, but not count how many you stuck
exactly.
on there.
Exactly. And just go, you're going to have to go through a couple days of, I can't deal with it. I need to know.
Yeah.
Go through that, lay down at 827, knowing it don't make no difference if it's 826 and 827. You're not asleep yet.
Right.
And get on a fucking elevator. It's almost like... When my cousin learned to swim, he was a little wuss, so to speak, and his mom babied him, and I threw him in the pool. Now, he learned to swim.
Right.
He wasn't going to drown. I would have pulled him out.
Yeah.
It's almost like that tough love thing. Look, you know you got a little issue. He seems to be recognizing the issue. Just fight through the dumb counting thing.
Yeah.
Count all you want.
I've always hated to throw people in the pool thing, but it does work every time.
It does, absolutely.
The survival instinct kicks in, and guess what? You can swim.
That's right.
I
don't know. We're having fun with it, but I mean, I don't have expertise on OCD stuff. Everybody's like to a degree.
I don't either, but I think everybody is.
Everybody has to a degree. I mean, like, you know, you have a, maybe it's your bookshelf where you have everything in just the right spot, you know.
Yep.
So everybody's got that to some degree.
Lace your shoestrings the same exact way on every
pair
of
shoes. That's one thing I do, actually. I lace it a certain way. Now I'm not going to...
If one string's longer than the other, it drives you nuts, so you get everything perfect. Every time, you learn how to do it perfectly.
But I guess the difference is for people that have really real OCD issues is that you like if I remember, oh shit, you know, I didn't fix my shoestring, I'll do it tomorrow. But they have to like fix it right then, I guess.
That's severe cases of OCD, yeah. And people, you know, they have those washing their hand compulsions and things like that.
Yeah, and I've seen houses that are complete shitholes, and I mean I'm saying shithole in the sense of they're shit piled everywhere, but the shit's neat.
Yes.
Like the stacks of shit are neat, and they know exactly where everything still is in that stack of shit. Man. Like completely, I'm like, you can't even walk through the room, like through pathways, but they're, every stack is perfect and neat. And if you move something a quarter of an inch on a table, they know it's been moved.
Yes.
I know people like that, and it's crazy to me.
And the counting thing, it just hit me. I have a friend who counts. They have this compulsion where when they take the lid off of a soft drink and they tighten it back, they go like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 turns. And like after it's already bottomed out, right?
Yeah.
After it's bottomed out, they back it off and bottom it out again 7 times before they do this.
Okay.
With a handbrake in a car, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then do it.
Right, right.
You know how like you could take the side of your finger and scratch your nose by rubbing it on there? 7 times. Like,
okay, yeah,
really weird that they do that. But people have these odd things about them, and if you hang around them long enough, you'll start picking up on them.
Yeah.
I don't know how that gets that
deep.
It
sounds weird, like the 7 times thing especially. But if you think about it, it's not much different than a routine.
No.
I have a routine when I go to bed. I mean, it's not like exact, but it's pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll do whatever. I'll do my little, you know, I'm sitting here watching something. Riddick gets his PB and his Kong. I eat a snack. You know, I'll look at a couple of things on my phone and double check everything. I'll go in there, get my bed ready, turn my fan on, you know, and then sit out on the porch for a couple of minutes, whatever, and then go to bed or whatever. It's almost the same thing, but it's not. I'm not thinking about it, I guess. I guess it's just not compulsive.
I do know a compulsion you have.
Uh-oh. Do I?
Notifications on your phone.
Yes, I do.
You hate looking at my phone. Like, it's
I can't understand how you can look at it.
Yeah.
Because you have like 157,000 missed calls.
And texts.
479 unread text messages. And I have to clear. Like, I won't even look at some of them on other apps I don't even rarely right? use. It's just some old app I don't even use anymore. But a notification will pop up, and I have to get the one off.
Yes, you do.
I can't. Yes, so there
Mine's
you go.
Three digits. It made me feel bad the first time you pointed it out. I was like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
That's huge. I actually know quite a few people like that.
Yeah, yeah. Melanie's the same exact way. She cannot stand to have a notification on her phone.
Yeah, it definitely is a thing. So that is true. I mean, and that of course would have never came about if we didn't have modern day smartphones.
Yeah, that's right.
But so I wondered how we didn't have that with flip phones. And shit. You know? I don't know. Wait a minute. I'm trying to think back to when we had answer machines.
Oh, yeah.
Could I stand numbers being on the answer machine with unread messages? I don't remember. I don't think so.
That's actually a good question. Could you walk past it, see a number there, and not hit play?
Yeah, I think I could, though.
I know. Because
I had a million of those. Yep. I mean, I had them in this house.
You
up until...
do everything you got to do, and then when you're ready, you'll sit down and listen to them. Yeah.
That, I think that's the difference. Like, I mean, yeah, I will clear my phone because I always have it. I'm always on it too much. It.
Yep.
But I'm not going to, because like I can lay it down beside my bed, right? And I hear emails start to come in. I don't pick it up.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good point.
So I know the next morning, my routine, I'm going to clear off and go through everything and check social media and check my emails and messages.
Yeah, that's building up for your routine for the morning.
Exactly. I know that once I've closed my eyes and I've set that phone on the charger, that's the next day.
Dude, okay. So, yeah, that would be unhealthy. Then if you couldn't sleep because it kept going off and you had to clear them.
Right. That's when you know it's not compulsive.
I'm glad I'm glad we talked about that. Yeah.
Just knowing your phone. But like, I'm not losing sleep over your phone.
I'm just going to tell everybody what the numbers are.
I'm telling you,
right,
it's insane.
Now. Let me just see.
James Wright's really particular about answering the phone.
Right now, I have 42 texts that I haven't opened.
Oh, my God. You're leaving people on read.
Oh, my little phone thing? 367.
Oh, my God. Help.
Email? 232.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. On my settings, I guess I have 5 updates I haven't done.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like that.
No wonder your phone don't work.
Dude, Facebook 5, Messenger 11, I don't know, 20 on Twitter.
Yeah, I bet you got him on Twitter and Instagram for damn sure.
Wow.
James Wright refuses to move from Facebook. That's another pet peeve of mine with James. He will not check. He's supposed to create a new Instagram since we created a new podcast Instagram and shit.
That's right.
I've been tagging your old one with one picture on it, and
I'm
he won't
glad.
Check it.
Yeah, remember I tried to log in, and I don't
right,
know. I've
right.
got to do that. I've got
because I
got to
change those tags when you do.
Okay. Lillian cannot leave the house. James must make Instagram. Okay, here we go. I got it.
To-do list.
Here we go.
All right, let's your see. Turn?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, these are fun.
I love this.
Hopefully dude. You guys are getting a kick out of this shit. We're trying to be partially serious, but we're uncovering our own little ticks.
Ooh, this was juicy, dude.
Uh-oh.
I can't wait to hear what you say
Uh-oh,
about this.
We got a juicy one.
All right. Dear Hoopers, I have been married for 2 months now and thought I had an honest and amazing relationship with my husband. We are perfect for each other, or so I thought. I had been married before to a cruel and unfaithful man. My husband was engaged to a woman who cheated, so being faithful and honest was a prerequisite for us both right from the very start.
Should be for everybody, yep.
Agreed. A few weeks ago, I was about to clear my browser history, and I found a sign-up page from an online sex site.
Uh-oh.
I had heard of this site, and it's basically a hookup for sex and the like. I knew it wasn't me, so I opened the login and it opened an account. It was my husband. I can't explain the feelings of utter betrayal and heartbreak I felt. He works away, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. I can't talk to anyone I know about this, but have no idea what I should do. He also set up another email address. I have access to his other email address as I manage most of our accounts and bills as it's hard for him when away at work, so another email is just another secret. Do you have any advice for me as to how I should handle this? I wasn't snooping. The history was on my phone as he uses my Apple ID on his phone and it came through on mine. I'm in a constant state of nerves, anger, and confusion. I trusted him with everything. Sex site betrayal.
Oh, damn. The classic, I thought I was with the perfect dude and he's
yes.
out here on a sex site. Let me say real. Did she say they had kids?
Did not. They've only been married 2 months.
Okay, so they didn't. If they do, they're probably not. Probably old from previous marriages.
Right.
I'm assuming. I was just gonna say, really, you got to make sure there's not a kid involved using parents' shit because that happens.
Ooh, yes.
You know, it's the kid on the site, and then it looks like dad, and dad's like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
Yeah.
And then he looks like he's lying, and there's a big fight. That's a tough one, and I think a lot of us have probably been through this. I know I have. It punches you in
yes,
the gut.
Yes, it does.
It's like a knife going through your heart. And let me just say this for any of these cheating kind of things. It doesn't mean that you're inadequate. Let me just say that for people. Because a lot of these are going to revolve around cheating.
You've been cheated on.
Yes, if you've been cheated on, it's not that you're inadequate or you're not, you know, giving him or her or whatever it is what they need.
Agreed.
It's a mental thing with them. Some people need validation for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Outside of the marriage or relationship or whatever.
Yes.
So, number one, it's bullshit and it's wrong. But this just goes back to the same thing. You have to put it out there. You have to fucking bust him.
You really do.
It's just the way, there's no other way around it. You can't, you know, like I said, verify it's him. If there's no other kids or whatever, I'm assuming it is.
Right.
But you have to just come out and say, you want to tell me about whatever.com or whatever in the hell it is. I don't know. Is there a Tinder app on a computer?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that's infamous for swiping. So I don't know what site. And it doesn't matter. But the point is, you got to go to him.
You have to. You have to confront this person, and I believe this is not something new for him.
No.
Honestly,
not if he's got a separate email and everything.
Yeah.
Now, he is dumb for using the Apple ID.
Yeah.
Hers.
That is, yeah.
So, it's not a smart one.
And I believe he wasn't as good a guy as you thought he was in the beginning.
Yeah.
There's
right.
no way your honeymoon phase should be over after 2 months of marriage.
No, 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 no. No way.
I mean, unless you guys dated for 20 years and got married.
Right. She mentioned that he had been cheated on, so they had really talked about all this faithfulness stuff.
She had been in a cruel, abusive relationship.
And he had been cheated on by a fiance or something. Yes. Right.
So I think maybe his story, you might want to talk to his ex. Yeah. I mean, if you want to keep the guy around, I don't know that you do. I know it's embarrassing to get separated after 2 months of marriage.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's so disrespectful for him to go outside of your marriage after 2 months or at any time and then come back and share your bed, bringing who knows what into your marriage.
Right. The other thing, too, just to throw it out there, because we don't know the details, is it could have been, he may have not have acted on it. What I'm saying is maybe he had this idea, like, I'm going to check out this whatever, but that's as far as it went. I don't know. It doesn't mean it's right.
Right.
I'm not saying it. Don't take that the wrong way. I'm just saying, is there a difference between, I'm thinking about this impulse, I'm starting to look into it, but I'm not acting yet. You know what I mean?
Okay, here's a scenario. What you're saying, he hadn't acted on it. I could see there's guys who do want to be involved in like water cooler talk at work.
Yeah.
So if a lot of your buddies at work are saying, dude, have you seen this website? Do you know that chick we went to high school with? She's on there, dude. She's on there. You should go check
this
it out.
This has happened to me, actually.
And then you just go innocently, you know, you got to sign up so you can browse the thing to see who they're talking about, so then you can go to work and say, hey, I saw her, dude. Right, she's all over the place on there.
Right.
And then that could be innocent.
Right. And that actually happens. I'm not trying to defend this dude. We don't know. We're just throwing this out there because this has happened to me. We had a buddy, I won't mention names, but he went to a stripper's house,
right,
and installed cable.
Okay.
All right. And he said, go check this out. And I went and looked and left it on my phone. It was just, hey, he was like, buddy, hey, check this girl. I just went to her house and did her cable and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I looked on my phone and left it there, and my ex saw it.
And,
of course, jumped on me, and I was like, no, I just, you know, homeboy, I won't say names, just showed me he went to this girl's house. I just looked at it, you know, looked it up. He told me to check her out.
Right.
And it was really, that was it.
And you had to do some promising and all that stuff.
And it looked bad on me. I mean, did I really care? Well, no, but I mean, you're just your buddies and you're looking at this girl who, you know, apparently is a famous stripper in the area or something or whatever it was.
See, and I didn't know that story, and I just pulled that out of thin air because I know things like that happen at work.
It does happen. And I've known other people here locally who did end up on porn sites, and people talked about it.
That's right.
So, yes, you have to consider, that's why you have to go talk to them.
You have to, yep.
And you have to figure out, is this legit? Is it an impulse thing? Did he not go this far yet? You can kind of save it. Or keep from going that route? Is it worth saving? All that kind of stuff. But that's why the communication, you got to talk.
This is the way I would do it. I wouldn't, you know, be like bawling or have all of his stuff in a pile ready to light a match to it when he walks in the door.
Right.
I would look this person dead in the eyes and I would say, look, I want to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
But I want you to know I'm not an idiot. So as you explain yourself, don't give me anything far-fetched.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I want you to know that I want to believe in you. I want to believe in you, but don't test my intelligence.
Right.
I think that's the fair way to approach it.
You got to. You absolutely have to. Because those things, and you know, again, make sure I'm clear on that. We're not trying to say this, we don't know anything about this shit.
No. We're trying to give honest advice. I feel pretty good about what we're...
Yeah, no, I'm just, you know, you just got to be careful because somebody will listen and say, well, what if he was just... And somebody say, see, you're victim blaming or something. No.
I don't want to do that.
No, it's just saying, I'm just saying I've actually experienced that was a completely legitimate reason for me to have a picture of this stripper. I'm not saying nude. This was like the site where you would go...
Yeah.
Go hire him, I guess, whatever.
Right.
On my phone, and it was just a dude that went to her house to do cable.
Yeah.
And he was like, check this girl out. I just went by there and did cable. You know, and you she was in her bathrobe or whatever. And then here, and she gave me her this website, and here it is.
Right. And you cared so much that you just threw your phone down.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's what.
In the same old place it always lays where everybody knows my password and everything.
It's innocent. It's
exactly.
Innocent.
So those things do happen, is all we're saying.
Yep.
But yeah, in that case, probably not innocent, I'm sure.
I feel like.
But
not,
I think she would probably go back, and I don't know how old these are, but probably see some other signs of things already, too.
That's a good
early.
Point.
That's early. That 2 months is early.
That's very early. And you're right. Once she starts thinking about it, she probably could look back and go, ah, yeah. He is out of town because he works out of town.
That's right. You know? And if he's online on that site, then he's probably using it out of town.
Oh, yes. That's scary.
So I can imagine. I know. I've everybody's felt the pain. I think most people felt that pain, that gut wrenching. Oh, my God. Are you serious right now?
And what sucks is, so this lady has dealt with a cruel and mean person before.
Right.
He probably didn't cheat. He's probably just an ass. Right. And then she gets with this guy, thinks he's everything in a box of donuts, marries him. 2 months into it, finds out he's probably sleeping around. And she's going to have trust issues moving forward.
That's right.
And that sucks to be the third guy.
And that's the thing with all these relationship things, that it doesn't matter who's doing the cheating, wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend. This is what starts scarring your heart as you get experience and get older, and you always think about these things.
Yes.
You always have, to some degree, trust issues.
Yep. And then the third guy you fall in love with is going to have to answer a lot of stiff questions.
Right. And he may be the most innocent motherfucker in the world and never even think about it and whatever. Yeah. And he gets a bad rap because of all these other dicks out here cheating and running around. So.
That's right.
Anyway, awesome. I think a lot of these are coming down to communication, but still, you know, it's interesting, the dynamics that are different. Is it my turn?
Yep.
All right, what do we have next here? I did the weird numbers one. So we have, here we go. We lost our zing.
Ooh.
Is the title here. So, dear Hoopers, I've been married for 7 years, but do not love my husband the same way I used to. I mean, I like him more than anyone else in the world, but there is no zing. I love him too, but I don't feel in love with him. It's hard for me to have physical relationships with him. I don't want to leave him. I want to fall in love with him and be physically attracted to him. Can you please help? Thank you.
Dang.
So, the classic, I've fallen out of love with my husband, but I do want to fall back in love with him.
Yes.
And save it. What do they call it? There's a term for the honeymoon phase running out. Is it the 7-year itch?
Yeah, yeah, they do. You do have a 7-year itch. Yep.
The honeymoon phase is over, and you've really got to know in like the real person, unabridged. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And see every flaw and that honeymoon. So I don't know. I don't know. What did it say? 7 years. That's about the right time. Did I say 7? Yeah, it did say 7 years.
And you start feeling antsy.
Yes.
Forever starts feeling like a really long time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like that's about the time this may have happened, according to this. Yeah, 7 years.
Yep. And I don't know. It's sad. That's not a good place to be in. Because when you're in that place, you start noticing things.
Yes.
And resenting certain things.
You do. And you start actually seeing them physically different.
Yeah.
If you start noticing things that really start to irk you.
You start not liking the way they breathe.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like the way you chew.
Yeah.
I don't like the way you walk.
Right.
I don't like the way you breathe. And you're thinking all this in your head. You're not saying it to
them. Yeah. But it breeds more.
It does.
It breeds more. So this is the point where you have to come clean.
Yep.
And you have to go to counseling. If you truly want to save it, you have to go to counseling.
Yeah.
This is something that you need a third party, again, somebody who's not invested personally, like family members and shit, because you can go to family for advice and all that stuff, and that's fine, but you know that that they have their sides in some way.
Yep.
They care about, like, you know, his parents and family love him. He's number one, and vice versa.
Yeah. And even your own family and friends, if you went to them, they could be like, come on, you know he's an awesome guy, but just like when you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see about yourself,
right?
Everybody's telling you you're so pretty or handsome or whatever. It's the same way. You're looking at this dude. Everybody's telling you, every sign says he's a great guy. He's a good looking guy. I remember what it was like to be infatuated with him and have great sex with him, but all of a sudden I'm just not feeling it.
Right.
So, like you said, find somebody who's not involved.
Exactly.
To help talk you through this, and you need to know that it's natural. Yeah. You know, these things happen.
Yeah, this would actually be a good question to write into a Dear Abby.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're thinking about it. I mean, yeah, you eventually, you have to talk to him about it in this case and air it out. But what you want to do is, I guess, is getting the mindset, whether it's through counseling or whatever, with this third party, of starting to look for those things and remembering what you fell in love with him in the first place. And start refocusing on those as opposed to looking for new little things that bug the shit out of you.
That's right. Remember those things from the beginning.
Right.
Because here's what happens, especially for guys, and I'm sure it happens for girls too, but I can only speak honestly for guys. When we're, say, playing the field,
yep,
and we're trying, you know, we're peacocking, right? And we're trying to attract a partner. That's usually when we're at our physical peak, our wittiest,
right,
our most charming. We smell better than we ever smelled before. Right. We're well manicured. But when you get into a relationship where all of a sudden you guys are sharing all these hardships and bills and the daily grind gets
and the
to
bathroom,
you, the dude, and when he's not out running around being athletic and stuff, you to get a dad bod. You know, you get comfortable. You start eating regular meals with,
right,
your partner,
as opposed to like those date meals where,
yes,
everybody eats a fucking salad.
Right. And you're binge eating, and while you're binge watching shows on TV, you develop this dad bod. You're not as active. And, you know, I don't know. I think you wake up one day and you look at your partner, and they do look different than they did in the very beginning, and what attracted you to them. So that is worth a conversation and say, hey, we're both not what we used to be.
Yes.
I'm sure you're not as attracted to me as I used to be. So let's do something. I don't know.
Right. And then you find, you know, to the rekindling thing in her example is not only that physically, but yeah, finding those emotional connections again, and then try some new things together.
That would be,
because that you've seen the same old thing, and what, like, whatever his hobbies or whatever y'all do,
yep,
together now, if you do something new, you get out together and do something new, you're going to see a new reaction.
A different side of this
guy. A different side of the person that you think you know.
Yeah.
And he's going to see a different side of you.
Yeah.
And he may be going through the same thing.
Yeah.
Thinking the same things.
Absolutely.
Right now, writing into Dear Abby.
All of a sudden, you're wearing granny panties all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have to do some self-reflection there, too.
Not shaving your legs as often as you often.
Right. And that's why you bring it up, because he could be literally going, I'm so glad that you brought this to me, because I've been thinking the same thing. And it's natural thing of growth. And like we said, the 7-year itch and the honeymoon phase being over, that's all just that's real.
Yep.
It's going to happen. There's a reason these things take work.
That's right.
It's not natural.
That's right.
It's really not natural.
Unfortunately, it's not.
And
as
so,
natural as it might seem because of
at first,
societal things.
Yes, it's,
yeah,
exactly. It's, yeah, not natural, a monogamous thing forever. It's just not. But if you, in some cases, like I always look at my grandparents, they were just as in love at 70 as they were at 20. And I love that story. But it don't happen often.
Right.
I know a few people have that story, but it's really, it wasn't just all sunshine and rainbows for 70 years.
Amen. You,
it was a lot of shit
them,
I never saw.
They might have had those conversations we're saying,
exactly,
they did.
Exactly.
That's
did.
Right.
Absolutely did.
And it takes work. It does. And it's, I don't know. I think love is worth fighting for. If you find somebody that you could be with for 7 years, and the worst thing you have to complain about is I'm not as attracted to them as I was 7 years ago, you hit the lottery. They don't cheat. They work every day. They care about you. They've been there through surgeries, through you getting fired, and that, you know, you've hit the lottery. If the worst thing is he's not as attractive, that there's hope there. Dear Hoopers, my boyfriend and I have been dating for 2 years. He regularly has bouts of depression that he has suffered from since childhood. Although initially he used to hump my brains out, for the last year or more, he has little to no interest in penetrating me.
Not safe for work, this one, by the way. Apparently.
He's in his 40s and has had more than his fair share of debauchery. I'm in my early 30s, the peak of my sexuality, and I need, want a regular bang. We've talked about it, and he knows how I feel that my needs aren't being met. He blames his disinterest in sex on the depression. Sex is an affectionate, loving, and bonding experience. I crave being close to him in that way. Is there any hope for our sex life, or am I doomed to live a sexless existence, destined to shrivel up like a prude? P.S. He masturbates regularly, more than once per week, but I'm lucky if we have sex even once per week. It's definitely no more than four times per month. Signed, Loss of Libido.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a pretty normal marriage to me. Actually.
I'd say so.
Especially at the ages and all that stuff. Yeah, he's not lying. He's not lying.
He's not. So many things go into that. He's in his 40s. I can totally relate. I'm in my 40s. And, you know, you do lose interest. It's like you know, we've talked about before, like low T comes into
it. Yeah, there's a lot of factors. I mean, the depression is definitely a thing for sure. You just kind of, when you get a little older, it comes and goes, you know, so you can have weeks where you feel like you're 25 again, and you can have weeks or even months where you just don't care that much. So there's a lot of, you know, low testosterone's dropping naturally over time. He's opened up about it. You know, being it's not something you're proud of, but you shouldn't be ashamed of it either.
Right.
So he's not bullshitting you. I mean, you're still talking about four times a month or once a week. That's pretty standard for an older couple.
Yeah, an older couple, even though they've only been dating for 2 years, still.
Yes.
Still. You know, I really don't know what kind of advice she's looking for. Hopefully she's not looking for somebody to say, well, you need to talk to him about stepping outside the marriage and letting you go explore your sexuality or, you know, be with other people. I hope she's not looking for that kind of advice, because my advice is, you know, be sensitive.
Yes, absolutely.
To his
that's a very biological thing. It's completely natural, and on top of it, the depression makes all that worse.
Right.
So you work on the root cause, probably the depression. You will have your guy will come back to you in that sense, in a way, and even though it will never be like he's 20 again.
Yeah.
Period. You talk about it, and you help him work on the depression and support him in that, and. Stop thinking about it in so much of my needs. This is marriage. These are relationships we're talking about. It's give and take, and you have to empathize with the other party in these issues.
He's saying he's battled with depression since childhood, but honestly, if he's in his 40s now, he probably has dealt with a lot of that stuff already.
Yes.
His childhood stuff.
Yep.
But you telling him your needs aren't being met.
Right.
That could be the root of his new depression now. And if he's trying to, you know, feel your needs, but in the back of his mind he's thinking he's inadequate, then that snowballs. Like,
yes.
I've been in that position where you feel, I'm not the man I used to be. I know I should be. I'm embarrassed. Oh, my God. Is this going to happen again this time? And when you have all these thoughts running through the back of your mind, simultaneously you're trying to please someone sexually, it's a lost cause, dude.
Once
your brain starts going, you may as well give it up.
Right. It's almost like when, you know, when you're young, it's like the whole the old cliche, think about baseball.
Oh, yeah.
It's a similar thing when you start having those issues or whatever, or your libido is going in general.
Yep.
And most people will sit back and say, you know, guys are always interested. No, we're not.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's a two-way street. So, yeah, I mean, that's just something where it's just a matter, again, of communication and trying to empathize with your partner.
And build him up.
And build him up, as opposed to my needs.
Tell him it's okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Say, I'm going to be okay here. I don't want you to worry that I'm going to leave you or anything. You know, you're awesome. You know, when we have sex, I'm just saying maybe we should have sex more. But build him up, and that'll take away some of the depression in his mind, anxiety.
Yes. And believe me, he doesn't want to be in that position.
No.
He already feels horrible about it. He feels guilty. He don't understand probably to a full degree why he doesn't He's not interested anymore.
Yes.
I know somebody, you know, she brought up the masturbation thing. That's normal.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're married, how long you're married. That's just still happens. It's just the way it is.
Right.
And that's also him almost checking himself in a way.
It is.
She shouldn't
be keeping score.
No, she should not be keeping score on that. That has nothing to do with you. That is his thing where he's trying to keep up with his own body.
Yep. Do not go, were you in there masturbating? I know you've done that four times this week. But you hadn't slept with me.
Yeah, you know, that's not the same thing.
Don't keep score. He's in there making sure everything works. He's wondering why it's not working when he's with you, why he doesn't have the drive. And let him, you know, work on himself.
Right.
Now, if it gets out of hand, I mean, you know, I get it. Like, if he's not there for you, if he's not present for you and trying.
Right.
But
right.
yet he's in the bathroom or whatever he does, or however he does it all the time, you know, and you do, that is a problem.
Sure, sure.
But
yeah.
Like Chris said, you know, it is natural. It doesn't matter how old you get, you still. You know, like you said, he could be checking himself. He could be doing anything.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be in that position.
No.
Trust me. He already feels he's older and he's going downhill and all that shit. I'm telling you, there's a big misunderstanding about, you know, this midlife crisis stuff. It's all related to this.
Yep.
And not just the relationship and sexual stuff, but there's a mentality shift and there's the natural depression that comes about when you start thinking about getting old,
yes,
not being able to do the things, whether it's sports or sex and all that kind of things like you used to do, especially when your kids get older and they're going, you're empty nesters. There's a depression that comes with that.
And yeah, sometimes
naturally.
You've got other stuff on your mind. And then
yes.
You know, you have a partner's needs right there that need to be met, but yet you're worried about, man, when I get paid, my check's going to be gone in 2 days, you know, because I got to pay bills. You got all this stuff on you, weighing on you, and then you're hating yourself. Like Chris said, he's depressed about the change in his life. He wants to feel like he did when he was 20.
Absolutely.
You know, because when you sit to talk about the thing about baseball thing, I was thinking, when you're young, it does not matter how many times you've done the act,
right?
There's no limit. As long as there's the desire there,
that's right,
you can perform. You could be on top of a skyscraper, you could be on a Ferris wheel. It's gonna work. I don't care. But when you get older, it's like anything could mess it up, you know, at times. It's really weird. Yeah, when you're younger, you could drink and still perform. When you're older, alcohol can hurt you. It's really weird how you gotta.
There's a lot of mental things that go into all that. I don't know if she specifically mentioned any, you know, ED type stuff, but that's just part of the same mental thing that goes along with it. So it's not always a physical thing. The depression is probably very heavily involved in this situation.
Oh yeah, it could be. It's just a drive thing.
Yes.
Because you're saying, hey, he's masturbating four times a month, but he could look at you and go, hey, when I was a kid, it was four times a day.
Right.
The drive's not there anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, that's not the end of the world by any means. I mean,
it is in your world, then you have other issues.
Yeah, there's other issues.
Yeah.
Right. Because I mean, you're saying four times a month, once a week, whatever. That's pretty standard for normal sex drives.
Right.
I mean, again, there's always the occasional, you know, week of, you know, go on vacation. There's, you know, you feel young again for a week. There's obviously
peaks and
exceptions.
Valleys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's peaks and valleys. You may go for a month and, you know, it's three or four times a week. And then you go for 2 months and it's once a month, you know, or whatever.
I don't want to harp on this, but if the roles were reversed, you know, and the dude has a high sex drive and the girl doesn't feel like doing it all the time.
Right.
You know, society looks at that differently.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's like no means no kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
You know, it doesn't matter whether I'm depressed, whether I just said no.
Right, exactly.
And you ain't writing into Dear Abby.
Right, exactly.
So think about it that way. Flip it around and go, oh, okay.
Right.
He might just not be in the mood.
And think back to those times when you had something going on, you were, you know, maybe you were depressed about something or you actually had a headache.
Right.
I mean,
actually
reverse that and think about it that way and kind of empathize. And that goes both ways. Yes, but I mean, that sounds pretty. I think that's a pretty common thing right there.
I think you're right.
I think that's pretty common because, again, the depression and all that goes heavily influences all that and moods and libido and all that.
Absolutely.
All right, let's see. I think we'll do one more. We have a bunch more here, but we just can't do them all in one thing. These are fun, though. So
I'm loving it.
We'll close out with did you want to do that one that we had mentioned? What was it?
The very first one you ever
read. The very first one I saw.
I think it's cool, yeah.
All right. So here it is. I think the title is Virgin Boyfriend Wants to Sleep Around.
Ooh.
Dear Hoopers, my boyfriend of 3.5 years just told me that I took his virginity when he was 23 years old. So now he's thinking about sleeping with other women since he missed out. Isn't this worse than being cheated on? Because now I sincerely have to consider letting him sleep with someone else, or it could happen without me knowing. Please give any advice you can think of. It's greatly appreciated. Okay, that's
heavy, man.
It is heavy. I can understand kind of the confusion there, but there is no excuse. There's just no excuse. If he's in a relationship,
yes,
and he wants to go sleep with other girls, then he needs to leave the relationship, period.
100%.
There's no letting him do shit. You don't start that game.
So let's say the girl had sex with 5 guys. Like before they got together,
right?
Okay, it's not for his place to come up to her and say, "Well, you had 5 other partners, and
right.
I only had one." I don't know what it's like to have. Sorry, man.
That's the way the cards fell.
What are you wanting to go find out?
Exactly. You know? I mean, there's nothing you can't find out right there at home.
That's right.
Yeah. With somebody that you already know and trust and have been through those awkward phases with and all that kind of shit.
And she seems really cool because it sounds like she's wrestling with the decision.
It sounds like it, and she shouldn't be. That is not an option. You don't start down that path.
Don't turn him loose.
You're validating his lame excuses.
Yeah.
And no, if he wants to go, okay, he can. But you're not going to – don't be with him.
Right.
Period.
It's cool that he healed his virginity until he got with her. I think I always admired that. I had a buddy who, while all of us were, you know, promiscuous and doing all this crazy stuff, he stood fast on the fact that he wanted to save himself for the person he loved.
Right.
When he found him, you know, and
yeah,
and,
hey, more power to him. He was a stronger motherfucker than me.
Right. And, so. And, you know, he caught a lot of that. He heard a lot of those
jokes. Yeah, I'm sure.
And, you know, then now looking back, I'm like, man, I wish I could have done that. I really do, because it is a special thing when you find the person you love. And, you know, it sucks that you just spread yourself thin. So I'm glad the guy did it, but then it ain't cool to stand on that and be like, hey, I'm a virgin. I'm going to save myself till I find
the person I love. Now you're on
this,
like, you know, high horse about it. No, you can't be all virtuous and I save myself for you and then all of a sudden – well, that's not fair to me.
Right.
Nah.
Cannot do
no,
that.
No, dude. That's not the way
it's
it works.
Not cool.
And it's not cool to put pressure on her like that, like making her feel guilty about it.
Right.
That's bullshit.
It is. And she feels like she's against the wall. Like, if I don't let him, he's going to go do it behind my back anyway because he's so curious. I can see it in his eyes.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. Right. It's just him discovering what he just did.
Yeah.
And now there's all this world out there he never saw before.
Right. And he thinks, I've mastered you. You know, I've done all there is to do with you. Let me go see what it's like to be with somebody else. I'll come back. I'm yours. You know that.
Right.
If you're mine, stay here. You know, you don't have to do that. And shouldn't do that.
No, and shouldn't. Don't. You're worth more than that. Bottom line is, I mean, again, we don't know how old these are and the details or whatever, but fuck him. If that's the way he absolutely feels, fuck him.
Yep.
Just let him go.
Honestly, you know, you and I have daughters.
Yes.
Yeah. If a guy said that to our daughters, I'd be like, no, he ain't good. He ain't the guy for you.
Nope.
And sorry about his luck, you know.
That's right.
And if this girl, that's the way she should feel. She should look at this like, okay, what if this was my daughter coming to me with this? Whether she has a daughter or not.
Right.
Thinking those terms.
That's right.
What advice would I give her? Yeah, tell the guy to go do it. You know, so is Wild Oats after he fell in love. Who does that?
No. Yeah. He got it backwards. I mean, he decided to do it that way, which is fine.
Yeah.
But then again, don't stand on the soapbox and then all of a sudden.
Now, what about this?
Hold her to it.
What if this dude didn't choose not to get laid? What if he was a nerd? She picked him out, dusted him off, took his glasses off, put contacts in him, put some hair product in his hair, what? Made him look fuckable, taught him how to fuck.
Right.
And now he's wanting to go bang the world because he couldn't get laid before her.
Right.
Screw that dude.
No, fuck him. Yeah, that's just the, I mean, this is going to be a short one. It's just the end of the story.
Again, I agree.
It's just, you know, no, don't put yourself, you're worth more than that. Don't put yourself and fall for that bullshit. It's nonsense. It's bullshit.
Right.
He, like you said, and that's probably the case. I mean, I don't know about nerd or whatever, but it sounds like the way she wrote it, and again, it didn't say that. It's just, it's implied that he saved himself, but I don't think he did.
Right.
I think you're absolutely right in one sense or the other. He just got laid then, and now he's experienced it.
He was too scared or whatever.
He was too scared or whatever, shy, whatever it may have been. Now he's gotten used to it, and they've probably done it a couple hundred times or whatever it is.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, there's more fish in the sea.
Yeah, now I'm not scared. Now I know what to expect.
Now I know how everything works, and now I have all these experiences.
You were my crash test dummy.
Exactly. So fuck him. Bottom line, fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him.
Anyway.
And we're right on this one. I don't know what they answered, but we're right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. We have no idea what these answers are. But yeah, these were fun. I mean, we had probably, I don't know, five or six more.
I love this. I hope you guys liked it too, because I want to do this again.
Yeah, I really do, hopefully. So yes, please leave us, you know, I mean, I know we have kind of an older crowd, but there may be some younger people.
Yeah.
Creeping in here and there, because we talk about a lot of cool stuff, and there's no we're no holds barred. There's no rules here. We talk about anything and everything, and we thought this would be fun. We had mentioned it a couple months ago and then kind of got off and did some other things, but leave us comments. You know, seriously, like, if you actually need advice, or like James mentioned earlier, email us and we'll you know, and you can say remain anonymous or whatever it is. And again, we're not professionals. We're having fun with it. But at the same time, we are giving serious advice, and you know, because we do have a little bit of experience in these realms. But these are fun to do. And so we'll do it in an entertaining way.
I love this one.
So yeah, let us know for sure in the comments. Do you like this format, this kind of thing, or this advice idea? And would you like to hear more of these? Let us know. And again, if you're listening on SoundCloud or Google Play or iTunes or Spotify or Podbean, give us a rating there if you don't mind. I really appreciate it. It helps us out. But be sure to subscribe on the YouTube channel. That's where we
definitely
will be adding video soon.
Yep.
When I say soon, we're talking probably months down the road, but we're going to be adding video once we get into a actual studio. And I keep mentioning this for in case new people are coming in. So you'll see me and James and Riddick, the studio dog, and even Cat Hole running around in the studio. So that'll happen. And YouTube is where we read every single comment and at least heart it, if not respond to it. But yeah, let us know what you think. This was fun. This is cool.
I had a blast.
And I'm curious to, we need to go back now and look at the answers.
Yeah, I know.
Just to see what they
I'm
said.
Too.
And a because, you know, they're professional doctors and shit.
Yeah, yep.
Well, I want to see how the PhDs answered any differently from us.
I'd love to know.
That'd be curious to know.
So
anyway, yeah, I guess I'll leave a link to that video, or that, not video, the article or the website, whatever it is. In the video description on YouTube, just in case anybody wants to read these and see what the answers are too. But I'm going to go back and read the answers.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I want to see what they say. I bet you it's pretty fucking close.
It's got to be, or they don't have much life experience.
Exactly. Maybe they're really young doctors
who
just...
What a book says.
What a book, exactly. Yep. Well, exactly what I was going to say. They just, what does the clinical book say to say in this situation? There is no substitute for experience.
There's not.
A PhD will not fuck with experience, period.
That's right.
Now, again, I don't know who these people are. I didn't even read the answers, but I'm curious.
I am too. And I'm curious to see what these people think. I hope we end up doing these again.
Yeah, I hope so. So, yeah, let us know what you think, and leave questions and or email them, whichever way you want to do it, and we'll do it again. And anyway, so we'll leave it there. I think we're probably, this might be one of our longest ones, but we could have went on for another couple hours.
Definitely could have.
Anyway, let us know what you think, and we'll see you next week. And I'm not sure exactly what we're doing. Maybe we're doing more advice.
Yeah, I hope so.
I don't know.
I do.
Anyway, as usual, we'll just let it fade to black. Yeah, fuck that, dude. Well, I mean, it's not fair. You had four partners, and I've just had one.
I'm worth four.